This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. Talking to Jeff Goldblum is, in a word, delightful. Just like when he's acting, he peppers his conversation with ums and ahs, little flourishes that make his speech almost musical. And so maybe it makes sense that he's been playing music almost his entire life, practicing piano since he was a kid, playing a jazz club residency for the last several years, and releasing his first jazz album back in 2018 with his band, the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra. That first album they put out, the Capitol Studio Sessions, went to the top of the jazz charts, and now Jeff Goldblum and the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra have returned with a new one called I Shouldn't Be Telling You This. Jeff Goldblum joins me to talk about the assortment of famous guest vocalists he brought together for the project, about his family, he somehow manages to get me to speak French, and he is generally delightful. We start with a song from I Shouldn't Be Telling You This, the opening track featuring Sharon Van Etten on vocals. This is Let's Face the Music and Dance.
There may be teardrops to shed, so while there's music and moonlight and love and romance, let's face
That's Let's Face the Music and Dance, Jeff Goldblum and the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra featuring Sharon Van Etten on vocals. It's from Jeff Goldblum's new album, I Shouldn't Be Telling You This. I'm Raina Duris, and Jeff Goldblum joins me now. Jeff, welcome to the World Cafe.
Thank you, Raina. It's a thrill to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think for people who haven't heard you play before, they might be surprised to know that you don't really sing that much on your jazz albums. You play piano. You leave most of the singing to some special guests, like the song we just heard. Sharon Van Etten sang on that one. Did anyone need some extra encouragement to get into singing jazz?
Well, Fiona Apple, I'm remembering. Oh, she's such a wonderful person and singer. We contacted her and made a little video. I got her, get her number somehow. I'd met her on an occasion many years ago. And then we started to make videos to each other and say, hey, how about this? And she seemed happy about the whole thing. And she came over, and as soon as she started to sing it, I started to get weepy and choked up. And it was very emotional and very, oh, she's just so soulful and personal and unique, and I just loved it. And then she's kind of, like many great artists, shy in some ways, you know, and highly sensitive. So after that session, I think there was a conversation or two where I said, well, we just want to make it, she had considerations about one thing or another, and I said, we just want to make it perfect for you so that you're really happy with this. And then we figured it out. And she's one of the people who stayed in her house, I think, where she's got a high-class recording situation and an engineer, and worked with our track that we made. And then she came up with what she was doing, which I just loved. I just thought was great.
Let's take a listen to some of that right now, the Fiona Apple song on the new Jeff Goldblum and the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra album, I Shouldn't Be Telling You This. It's Don't Worry About Me.
Give your heart. You cling to some fading thing that used to be. If you can forget, don't worry about me.
Don't Worry About Me, Jeff Goldblum and the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra with Fiona Apple singing. That's from the new album, I Shouldn't Be Telling You This. This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris, joined by Jeff Goldblum. Now, a lot of people may know you as an actor first, but you've been playing jazz piano for a long time. And for the past several years, you've had an on-again, off-again weekly residence where you play at a place called Rockwell. For those of us who haven't been there, could you describe Rockwell?
Rockwell's a lovely place for us particularly. We've been there for several years now, and on Wednesday nights from 9 till 11, if I'm in town and not otherwise obligated and working, we're there. We've got a so-called residency, and they've been very nice to us and generous. And it's they serve food there, and there's a bar, and it's perfect. I think a couple hundred people fit in there, and we fill it up once a week, and it seems to be conducive to lively interaction and spontaneous music and spontaneous conversation, and we just have a blast there. People seem to like it.
Yeah, what's the vibe like? Is it, you know, is it hardcore jazz fans? Is it Jeff Goldblum fans? Is it sort of a mix of that?
It always seems to be a mix, and a surprising mix from week to week. Yeah, there's some hardcore fans because we play with just great people. But I it's true. I do get a lot of people who, there was a person last week, as a matter of fact, a woman who came up and said, you know, this is the first jazz concert I've ever been to in my life. I've never heard live jazz, and I don't even know it that much. And so, you know, I think we get a lot of people like that, you know, who are interested in one thing or another, you know, maybe about me and movies. And so everybody comes and seems to go away happy.
Yeah, it's kind of a gateway for some people into the jazz world a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's a responsibility. Can you imagine? Sometimes we're introducing people to, you know, a Sidewinder for the first time, or Don't Worry About Me, or some of these standards. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we try to play it, we try to be good.
Now, I can imagine that you probably introduced a few people, more than a few maybe, at a big show you played over the summer, kind of the opposite of a small jazz club. You played Glastonbury. Oh. There's video online of a little bit of that set. I'd guess not a ton of jazz pianists have played outdoor stages of that size at festivals like that. So what was that experience like, playing Glastonbury with your jazz band?
It was absolutely amazing. I'd never been there before, and there were 35,000 people, they told us, in front of our stage.
Wow.
I know. But it felt, in a way, not unlike Rockwell, where there are a couple hundred. I talked to them, and they we had a nice conversation, all of us, and we played some music, and I think they dug it.
This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras, speaking to Jeff Goldblum about his new album, I Shouldn't Be Telling You This. It's a jazz record, Jeff Goldblum and the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra. Maybe my favorite track on your new album is Make Someone Happy.
Oh, yeah. Well, Gregory Porter, come on. You know what happened? I probably wouldn't be talking to you like this and about this second album if I hadn't met him by chance in an airport some 5 years ago or whenever it was, and I had loved his music, and I'm crazy about him, and I went up to him presumptuously and bravely and said, hi, my name is Jeff, and he said, oh yeah, and I said, well, I'm just I just adore your music and what you do, and I admire and respect you so much, and anyway, a couple of years later I was promoting Thor Ragnarok on the Graham Norton show in London, and he was the musical guest, and he contacted me a few days before and said, hey, you play piano, I'm promoting this Nat King Cole album, and I'm going to do Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa, I've named you, that song, maybe just you and me, you could play and I could sing. I said, yeah. And I looked at it and learned it, and we did that, and that's how Tom Lewis and Rebecca Allen from Decca in London, who works with him, saw us and said to themselves, they told me, hey, maybe we could do an album with Jeff. That might be not a bad idea. And they flew to Los Angeles. We talked about it. And that's how the first album came about, that Live at the Capitol Studios.
Right.
Album. And after that, you know, it went nicely, and they asked us to do another, and that's how the second album came about. So when it did, we thought, hey, Gregory Porter, we gotta cook up something with him, and we did it. And I love that track too. Thanks.
Oh, he's just such a fantastic, fantastic singer. Let's listen to it. Gregory Porter singing on this one from Jeff Goldblum and the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra. This is Make Someone Happy.
Someone happy, make just one someone happy, make just one heart to heart you sing to,
smile.
Oh, it's so, so nice.
Oh, is he a singer? Is he spectacular or what?
Just fantastic. He really is.
Gosh, I think so too. And I like that idea. If you make someone happy. I was telling my oldest boy, we have two kids. I got a 4.5-year-old boy, and Emily and I have a 2.5-year-old boy. River Joe is the younger, and Charlie Ocean is the older. And I took Charlie Ocean yesterday to the Huntington Gardens. And he said something happened during the trip where he went. He shouldn't have done it, but he got a big stick and he was fishing out coins because he's coin obsessed, shiny penny obsessed from the wishing fountain. Several of them they have there. And he fished one out and he saw a couple of friends he had there from school. We ran into a couple of kids from school and he fished two out and he gave one to each of them. And I said, why'd you do that? He said, I just wanted to see them, make them happy, you know, and let's tell Mama about it. She's French, and so she insists that they call her Mama. And she's actually from Toronto. I know you're Canadian.
Yes, I am. I'm from Toronto.
I know. So we called Mama, and then we couldn't stop talking about the fact that he did that. And I said, you know, there's this song called Make Someone Happy, and it's a whole song about... how when you make somebody happy, even one someone happy, you can be happy too. That's the upshot of the whole song. And he said, yeah. So I liked, you know, being able to expose him to that bit of, I think, good, wholesome wisdom. And, you know, he kept talking about it. How about that?
Oh, I love it.
So you're from Canada.
That's right, I am.
You probably know the entire Canadian national anthem.
I think so. I feel like there are a couple of lines I always stumble on a little bit. The French version I have a harder time with, but...
Oh, because you speak French?
Oh, no, I can all... Juste un petit peu.
Ah, un petit peu.
Oui, oui.
Très bien. Well, I don't know much beyond that, and so I'm trying to catch up as they're becoming bilingual, both the kids. She talks exclusively in French to both of them.
I am speaking to Jeff Goldblum on World Cafe. My name is Raina Duras, talking about the new Jeff Goldblum and the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra album. I shouldn't be telling you this, but would also like to talk about your debut jazz record, The Capitol Studio Sessions. It went to number one on the jazz charts in the UK and here in the States in 2018. But before you put that out, I was wondering, did you worry at all that people wouldn't take you seriously as a jazz musician because you're an actor?
Well, you never want to make a fool out of yourself. It's always uncomfortable, although I've spent my life, you know, risking humiliation, public humiliation, so it's not unfamiliar to me. And frankly, more than acting, music has always been for fun, pure kind of fun. So even on this, you know, thrilling occasion of our first release with Decca Records, and you can imagine, I knew it would be listened to and, you know... assessed, you know, by serious people, you know, once we started to do it, I just let the enjoyment of the doing of it carry me along, and what do I care?
Well, you brought a live audience in for it, which is pretty bold for a first album. Why did you want to record in front of a live audience?
Well, when we started to talk about it and what we wanted to do, and somebody, of course, had the connection to Capitol Records, where I'd done a thing or two, and that's a wonderful building and a wonderful studio, and they said, oh, yeah, we could get Studio A and B and make it so it's like a club, like at Rockwell over there, and that's what we did. And I'll tell you, while we did it over the course of two nights, and while we were doing it, it felt like a... You know, we could even almost forget that they were recording. It felt like a fun happening and jazz occurrence, you know?
It really does have that live in the room sort of feeling. There's this really charming bit between you and Sarah Silverman. Okay. I'm just going to play a little bit of that clip.
Okay. Fabulous story.
Give my Spanx a little tug-a-rooney. So what happens is...
Did you say Spanx?
Yeah, when my thighs rub together, it's like fire. It's like actual fire.
So the exits are this way, that way, and that way. Remember, if anything combustible happens, save yourselves, for God's sake. First, you know.
Well, let's get jazzy. Till, looking nice.
So that's you and Sarah Silverman, right before she sings her song on your debut album, The Capitol Studio Sessions. like you, Sarah may be more well known for her acting, her comedy, not so much her musical ability necessarily, but we hear that she can sing. How did you know that Sarah Silverman can sing?
Well, I think the world of her. We've known each other for quite a while. I hosted Saturday Night Live a couple of times, and that was back when she was a young writer on the staff. That's how we first met, and then I was pals with Gary Shandling, and so was she, and I found myself on one of his shows, and we overlapped that way, and so we were in sort of friendly circles overlapping. And I just adore her. I think she's just great. And, you know, then I'd see her special or her comedy things, which have all along included some singing. And she's very musical. She's great. If you go on YouTube, there's a very early sort of rehearsal that we did, because we did that same duet, the Me and My Shadow, for some show that she did and that she still does at Largo, that lovely place here in Los Angeles. She asked me to be a guest, and I said, hey, maybe we can do this thing if you learn this other part. So I went over to her apartment. She filmed our video, our rehearsal, and you can see that some years ago. And then when this first album opportunity came up, I thought, yeah, let's have her. Maybe we'll do that same thing. So we tried to refine it, but mostly it didn't do much and just had fun. Yeah, she's hilarious, and I love her very much.
Here's how it sounds. Me and My Shadow, Jeff Goldblum, and Sarah Silverman.
And now to repeat what I said at the start, they need a large crowbar to bust us apart. We're alone but far from bloom.
Before we get finished, we'll make the town roar.
We'll change that name, Redskins. Is that such a chore?
Then we'll tackle climate change, heads off to Al Gore.
Life is gonna be wee-wah-wee.
That's Sarah Silverman singing with Jeff Goldblum, who's playing piano there. Me and My Shadow, from the debut album from Jeff Goldblum and the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra. Jeff Goldblum joins me, Raina Duris, on World Cafe right now to talk about his new album, I Shouldn't Be Telling You This. I want to play another song from the album. This one is the one where you teamed up with Miley Cyrus. Could you tell us a little bit about The Thrill Is Gone?
Well, I love The Thrill Is Gone. Well, this song, like a few others, several others on this album, are sort of, we think, canny mashups. In this case, The Thrill Is Gone, we did it with Django, which is a modern jazz quartet John Lewis song that many people know about. I had to familiarize myself with it, although the MJQ, the Modern Jazz Quartet, was one of my early influences. My brother Rick was a jazz fan. He brought home a bunch of Modern Jazz Quartet records. So I was hearing this and things like that early on. But so this is some Django and some The Thrill Is Gone. And I don't know. I think I'd been aware of that through, you know, Chet Baker does a spectacular version of it. And then we thought, Miley Cyrus, and like I say, we contacted her and put them together. And I'll tell you, when I first heard this, I was also, well, I'm, it may seem, I'm emotional, so I was once again kind of weepy and sort of knocked out by it. Different kind of tears than Fiona, when she sang live for me, it was deep, and the tears started to kind of dribble out. This one, I was sort of knocked over flat on my back and sort of wailing in satisfied tears.
Okay, well, you'll want to make sure you're sitting down for this. It's Miley Cyrus singing with Jeff Goldblum and the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra. The Thrill Is Gone.
It don't appeal to you. The thrill is gone. This is the end. So I pretend and let it linger on. The thrill.
The thrill is gone. Miley Cyrus singing with Jeff Goldblum and the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra from Jeff Goldblum's latest album. I shouldn't be telling you this. I am talking to Jeff himself on World Cafe. My name is Raina Duris. Now, the orchestra is called the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra. Yeah. Mildred Snitzer, she's a real person. She's not actually in the band. But who is Mildred Snitzer?
Mildred Snitzer lived to be 104, I think, and she passed away some years ago, but you can't complain about 104. If we get, you and I get that much, that wouldn't be bad. But she was I'm from Pittsburgh originally, and she was a friend of my mom's, Shirley, and she would come over, and she was pals, you know, she would be around the house, We were friends with her, and I like that name, Mildred Snitzer.
It's fun to say.
To do with, yeah, Mildred Snitzer, and we're not really an orchestra, but I said let's call ourselves the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra. It's kind of cute, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I like it. It's fun.
I know what happened, and then we were playing what was it, 10, 15 years ago, and John Mastro, our director, said in the middle of a gig, this is in Los Angeles, said, "Hey, guess who's here?" I said, "Who's here?" Mildred Snitzer. He said, "You've got to be kidding. Really?" She had since moved from Pittsburgh to like Northern California, had come down. She hadn't contacted us, had come down, showed up at one of our gigs, all dressed up in a sequined gown. She was in her 90s at this point. And we were playing, and in the middle of a song, she appeared, and she was, you know, bopping around, dancing. She was always very physical and ahead of her time, exercise-wise, and it was great to see her. Yeah, we're the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra.
That is so wonderful. The idea of her coming down in a sequin gown.
I know. How about that?
I'm talking to Jeff Goldblum on World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. You've been playing piano for a long time, since you were a kid.
Yeah.
But even back then, you knew you wanted to be an actor, even when you were really young, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Around 10, I got the bug. And my dad had said, if you find something you love doing, that may be a key to your vocational choice. I'd already gotten this idea that, geez, I got to figure out what I want to be. You know, they ask kids all the time, you know. So I felt some, you know, I knew about that. And I thought, well, actor, that's what I want. And I've had my heart set on it ever since. But around that same time is when I got Alley Cat, started to play. And just for on a lark, got the telephone book, the Yellow Pages, in Pittsburgh, and looked up cocktail lounges around Pittsburgh, and from A to Z started to cold call people and say, "Hey, I understand that you need a piano player." Most of them would say, "No, you've been misinformed. We don't even have a piano here." Some would say, "Well, who's this? You sound, how old are you?" Yeah, well, I was like 15, you know. We got a piano. I don't know. You want to come over and play something? Well, maybe you'll come over and maybe we'll give you a job. And I got a couple of gigs that way.
How did your parents feel about you going up to, you know, cocktail bars to play music?
Well, I think they thought it was okay. You know, it was a different time. So, of course, we'd already been, you know, go out the door all day long on our bikes and stay out all day. So I don't think they had the same thing that I would have now if our kids, of course, that's a while from now, said they wanted to go out and hang around clubs all night. But they, the first couple, I remember, I think they drove me, because I wasn't driving yet. They drove me and were there, and I think they were tickled, because my dad was a jazz fan anyway. He brought home Errol Garner records, and that's how I first started to get into it, you know, Misty and all that stuff. So he was tickled about it, and then I don't know how I met a singer or two, a lady singer, and I started to sort of practice with them. Somebody came over to the house, I remember practicing a little bit, and then they gave me a ride to a gig or two, and I don't know how they felt about that, but it worked out okay, I guess.
And your mom, didn't she work as a radio broadcaster? Is that true?
Well, after we left, they had four kids. I was the third of three boys, and then my sister, Pam. So there were four of us. I can't imagine what any more than two would be like. Mm-hmm. But they had four, and she was young. Boy, I think she had the first one when she was, I don't know, 20 or 21. And she had the fourth one before she was 30, at 27 or 28. So her life was sort of spoken for in those days. And, of course, you know, there was an unequal opportunity field for women, I think, which thankfully is, you know, in the process of writing itself. But anyway, after we left, I think she felt unshackled in some way and had latent and potential energy and interest and enthusiasm and intelligence and talent for all sorts of things, and then got a job for a time. Legend has it, not that I heard any, I think it was local, and I was away by that time in New York or LA, doing, yeah, some radio stuff. That's right.
I'm talking to Jeff Goldblum on World Cafe. I'm Rena Duris. Want to play the last song on the album now, to sort of tie things up here. And it's a song written in the 30s. It's been recorded by Perry Como, Bing Crosby, Eric Clapton. And it's the only song you sing on the album. Could you tell us why you wanted to record Little Man, You've Had a Busy Day?
Well, we had conversations about, well, what should we do on this album? Somebody said, well, you should sing something. Really? Well, what would you sing? I said, well, I said, you know, I've got these two little kids now, and I do sing this song that I've known for a while, but I sing it to them when they go to sleep sometimes. And sometimes I just find myself in the boys' room. They have a room now with bunk beds. Charlie's on the top and River's on the bottom. And I, even when they're not there, and sometimes I sing it to them now still, and I sing it to them, and gee, it's very sweet to me, you know.
Well, we'll play it on the radio right now. Little Man, You've Had a Busy Day, Jeff Goldblum and the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra on World Cafe.
Little man, you're crying. I know why you're blue. Someone stole your kitty car away. Better go to sleep now, little man. You've had a busy day.
Little Man, You've Had a Busy Day, Jeff Goldblum and the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra from their new album. I shouldn't be telling you this. It's out now. It is so lovely. I've been talking to Jeff Goldblum here on World Cafe. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Take care, okay?
Okay, I'll see you soon.
Better go to sleep now, little man. You've had a busy day. You've been playing soldier. The battle has been won. The enemy is out of sight.
Oh, it's just so sweet. That's Little Man, You've Had a Busy Day, Jeff Goldblum and the Mildred Snitzer Orchestra from the new album I Shouldn't Be Telling You This, out now. Thank you to Jeff Goldblum for joining me, and thank you to World Cafe producer John Myers for his work on this piece. I'm Raina Duris. Thank you for listening to World Cafe from NPR.
Can't you hear the bugle softly say, time you should be dreaming, little man. You've had a busy day.